Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Governor Charlie Baker is expected to hold his daily briefing soon. When he does, we will bring it to you live. In the meantime, all this hour, we have been talking with people working on the medical front lines of the coronavirus. With the worst weeks likely upon us here in the Commonwealth, we're fortunate to have some of the best hospitals in the world preparing to care for those who get sick. So we want to use this time to take stock. How ready are our hospitals, our facilities, the Commonwealth itself, our workers? Joining us to talk about it is Dr. Peter Slavin, president of Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. Slavin, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
Okay. We're hanging in there.
How about MGH? How's it doing?
I've been associated with this hospital for 35 years when I first came there as a resident, and I've never been more proud of the place than I have been over the last few weeks. The spirit, the determination of the staff to do everything they possibly can to care for a growing number of patients has just been extraordinary. Their flexibility, innovation has also been mind-boggling. So it's really an extraordinary thing to watch.
It's inspiring to hear, too. I want to ask you, the Inspector General of Health and Human Services released a report today finding that hospitals around the country continue to confront severe shortages in testing and in personal protective equipment. I want to ask, what is the status at MGH, both on PPE and ability to do quick and effective testing?
I think we're, at the moment, in pretty good shape on both. As far as PPE goes, I mean, certainly we were thrilled, as were healthcare workers across the Commonwealth, when our board chair, Jonathan Kraft, working with the governor, pulled off that amazing journey from China with over a million N95 masks. And that is, in round numbers, probably about a month's supply of the entire state of Massachusetts. So those are going to be a big help. And the other thing that's going on with PPE, the same masks, is this facility that we're in the process of installing in Somerville, a facility manufactured by a company called Battelle that has the potential to reprocess, decontaminate 80,000 N95 masks a day. And that facility will be available to all hospitals in the state, maybe more broadly, and should be up and running by the end of this week.
I wanted to ask you about that, Dr. Slavin, specifically the million masks. When Governor Baker last week announced that, he referred to it as a private humanitarian mission. And I guess the question that comes up is, does that mean things are working because we were able to achieve a private humanitarian mission that brought a million N95 masks to the Commonwealth? Or does that mean that something's not working because we needed a private humanitarian mission to bring a million N95 masks to the Commonwealth?
Well, I guess what is working in this case, I mean, is the incredible determination, dedication of the governor and the Kraft family to make this possible. And it will do wonders for the healthcare workforce in this state, and it certainly has buoyed their spirits. It's unfortunate that it needed to happen in the first place. The distribution of supplies at this point should be tightly managed by the federal government, and using the Defense Production Act should be not only making sure that all industries are producing as many of these supplies as possible, but playing an active role in distributing them nationwide where they're needed the most. And I think the efforts from our federal government have been less than what our country deserves.
I want to ask you about that, too, that we've been hearing and having conversations on this show for a few weeks now about the Defense Production Act. And sometimes when I get someone with a very unique perspective, I just want to ask them, how big of a deal is it? And so how big of a deal is it for the federal government to really move with the Defense Production Act and put it in place to create more supplies and equipment here in the United States?
Yeah, well, I co-authored an op-ed piece with Senator Markey on this topic a few weeks ago. It appeared in the Globe, calling for the president to invoke the Defense Production Act. And Senator Markey spoke to the vice president that night, and in fact, the president did sign it the next day. But they didn't really utilize it until very recently, which I think is unfortunate. A lot of time was wasted along the way, time when a lot more masks, ventilators, and other supplies could have been produced. It gives the federal government enormous authority to direct industry to do things that are maybe out of their comfort zone, but that's exactly what happened during World War II when President Roosevelt created the War Production Board and had typewriter companies make machine guns, had underwear companies make parachutes. That's what we need our federal government to do in these kinds of circumstances.
The other thing that, of course, has come up over the last day, last week or late the week before, Governor Baker had announced that we were anticipating 1,000 of the ventilators that the Commonwealth had requested from the federal government. We heard yesterday that the state received, or Governor Baker said that yesterday the state received a shipment of 100. And it doesn't necessarily seem clear that the rest, the other 900, are coming quickly. What kind of reaction should our broader healthcare community have to that news, and how much risk does that create that we only got a fraction of what we were anticipating and that we were anticipating less than we asked for?
Mm-hmm. I just don't think that there are that many ventilators out there to be distributed. My understanding is this federal stockpile had maybe 20 or 30,000, and the state of New York has called for a number more than that. So I just don't think there's the inventory out there to satisfy all the needs of the state. And producing these ventilators take time, which is why it's disappointing that, as far as ventilators go, I think the president just started using the Defense Production Act within the last 2 days. If he had done it a couple of weeks ago, or if he had done it months ago, we might be in a very different position.
So I can hear listeners out there sort of yelling at the radio saying, we are maybe the medical hub of the country. We are a healthcare-rich environment. How do we find ourselves in a situation where we are not able, we don't have what we need? We're worried about shortages of personal protective equipment. We don't have the number of ventilators that we're deeply concerned this surge is going to create a need for. How do we answer that question for ourselves?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it's premature to know whether we're going to have what we need or not. The hospitals, under the leadership of the governor and the state, are working very collaboratively with one another, and we're, for example, in the city of Boston, making sure that patients are going or being transferred to the hospitals that have the most capacity. So
you think it's possible that we've created a network and a set of capacities that could absorb what's coming for us?
That is certainly my hope. I think it would be unfortunate, particularly when it comes to ventilators, if we ran short and had to make some very difficult life and death decisions. It's certainly my hope, and in looking at the data every day or twice a day, I think there's a decent chance that we will be able to meet the demand, but it's not certain.
What's the capacity of the ICU at Mass General right now?
We generally operate about 150 ICU beds under normal circumstances. We are now running more than that. And we have the capacity to go up to as many as 300. And the capacity is limited by the number of ventilators we can get our hands on, but also the space that would be appropriate to support ICU-level care, as well as the staff that is expert in ICU care. Right now, as of this morning, we had about 100 patients in the intensive care unit with COVID-19 or who were suspected of COVID-19. And so we still have some opportunities to accommodate more, and we're just counting the days between now and the peak and hope that the capacity is sufficient.
Dr. Slavin, we've had the warning that pretty soon Governor Baker will begin his daily press briefing, and when he does, we'll carry it live. So
sure.
I both want to thank you in advance so that I'm not rude when we go to that live.
No worries.
But also in our last minute or so, what is your message to the broader community right now as we prepare for what we anticipate will be a spike?
Well, I guess I'm biased. I do think we have the best medical community in the country and the world here in Boston and across the state. We've been preparing for emergencies, crises, disasters for years, dating back to the Coconut Grove fire through World War II, Spanish flu. and most recently the Boston Marathon. I think at times like this, the Boston medical community, when chips are down, really responds brilliantly. And the response that's going on now at Mass General and hospitals throughout this region is inspirational, and I think the people of this region should take a lot of comfort from that.